Good morning. I want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here, and it's a privilege to be able to bring our little ones to come here on Father's Day and to hear the Word of God taught. As I thought about Father's Day, I do want to bring a message to strengthen and encourage us as fathers, but I don't want the rest of you to just turn off your ears either, because as fathers, we know that we need mothers to help us, and I'll have a little something at the end for the children as well, so keep your ears open for that. This morning, I'm thankful to be a father, to have God has blessed me with children. Thankful for that. I'm also thankful for my earthly father, who is not here this morning, but has invested a lot of time and work and prayer into me. But I'm most thankful for our heavenly Father. This morning doesn't matter what our father was like, or whether we're a father or not, we have a heavenly father. We all have a heavenly father that loves us and cares for us, and that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family together, and I'm thankful for that this morning. For a text, turn to Psalm chapter 78. I want to read the first seven verses of this psalm. And while you're turning there, I want to give you just a little bit of context for it. My Bible has at the top, I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, but I believe it's pronounced Mashil or Maskil of Asaph. So often when we think of Psalms, we think of David being the writer, but that's not the case here. This is a Psalm of Asaph. He was one of the appointed musicians for the children of Israel under the reign of King David. So this, the word maskil means a poem or a song that was to be sung to remember something or to pass on information from generation to generation. So this psalm was written as a way to teach and to remind the children of Israel their history and make it easy for them to remember. As we read this song, I want us to notice the vision that is portrayed here. And I know vision is sort of a buzzword today, but I want to look at a man this morning who had vision for the future, vision for those who would come after him. And for a title this morning, I'd like to think about fathers with vision. As I look at this side of the house, what is your vision for your family? Do you have a vision for your family? When you think down the road, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, what is the mark that you are going for? What are you trying to accomplish in raising your children and raising your family? I want you to think about that as we go through the message this morning. Let's read the first seven verses here of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony with Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known unto their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments. The purpose or the theme of this psalm is to teach the coming generations about God, what he has done for them. As time passes, it's natural for us to forget and to drift away from truth. But God has called us as fathers to take up this responsibility of teaching and instructing the generations that come after us. Verse 3, which we have heard and known. The current generation needs to experience this truth. And we cannot teach our children something that we have not experienced ourselves. That's what we want to take from verse 3. Verse 4, telling our children about the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works. Fathers, are we doing that this morning? Teaching our children about how great God is. Tell them what God has done for us. Tell them about his strength. Do we tell them about times that God has answered prayer for us? Times that he has worked things out on our behalf? Do we teach them the mighty works of God? Verse 5 gives the command to the children of Israel, and I believe to us as well, to teach and to tell the next generation the ways of God, the laws of God. It's our responsibility as fathers. Verse 6 talks about the future. We talked about vision, but this is not just a one generation transfer. This passage of Scripture is looking into the future. It says, even the children which should be born, and to the children that should arise, and we're to declare them to those children. Looking to the future with this message of what God has done for his people. But the purpose of this song was not just to pass along a good story. If you read the rest of this chapter, it's an interesting recount of all that God had done, or most of what God had done for the children of Israel. It was a song they could remember. But that's not the purpose of this song. I think the purpose is found in verse 7. There's a reason to tell it and to teach it to the next generation. It says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments. And I think if we had a vision, we'd write down a vision for our families as fathers, I think it would look something like this, that they would set their hope in God. That's our vision for them. We want them to remember the works of God, not forget, and to keep his commandments. That's my desire for my family, and I'm sure it's your desire for your family as well. And I know these verses we're reading here in Psalm 78 are talking about a different covenant than what we're a part of today. But God's laws and commandments do not change. They're for us today. What is our desire for our children and those who are under our influence? Whether it's the children that come to summer Bible school last week, or maybe it's the ones that we interact with at Bible Discovery, or maybe it's our neighbor children, or those that we influence, we can have this vision for them, for those around us. We want the generation after us to be one that has their hope in God. This doesn't just happen, does it? It doesn't just happen by default. It takes, of course, the power of God and diligent effort on our part to be able to teach our children and to pass on this to our children. As I thought about this passing on to our children, passing on this vision to our children, I thought of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to turn back there. We're going to spend our time in the book of Deuteronomy this morning. And looking at Moses and his address to the children of Israel before they were to go into that land of rest that we were talking about this morning, that promised land. And Moses had this parting message as he was coming to the end of his life. He wanted to challenge the next generation as they would go in and to conquer the land that God had promised to give them to. Again, I want to think about our influence, our circle of influence. So Moses here, I don't know how many children he had or what his family situation was, but Moses had a vision for the people of God, the people around him, those that would come after him. I was just reminded of this again at summer Bible school this past week. Our responsibility to those around us, to those who maybe don't have a father figure in their life, someone who is watching out for them spiritually. We live in a world where there are many, many children that do not have that father figure in their home. And experts are referring to it as a crisis in America. But Moses' vision went beyond just his immediate family. He had a heart for the people of God. And I want to just pull a number of points here from the book of Deuteronomy. We're not going to read any lengthy passage, but just look at a number of different verses as Moses addressed the people of God. In the first few chapters here of Deuteronomy, Moses is just recounting the story of how they got to the point where they were at this time. They'd been at this point 40 years earlier. And like we mentioned in Sunday school, they were afraid to go in and conquer, except for Caleb and Joshua. Those two said, yes, we can do it. But the rest had unbelief. And God had to lead them through the wilderness experience to teach them a lesson about trusting him and following him. And we know that Moses is coming to the end of his life, and he is not allowed to go into the promised land. God, because of his disobedience to God, God had said he may not go into it. And God, here in the end of his life, Moses asked God if he may. And God said, no, and in my own words, don't ask me again. But he said, you can go up to the top of Mount Pisgah, and you can look over the Jordan River into the promised land. And Moses did that. And God told Moses to give the responsibility of leading the children of Israel into the promised land to Joshua. Joshua is going to take up this charge and lead them into the promised land. But here Moses says he's concerned about the future. He's concerned about what's going to happen next after he's no longer with the people. What is going to happen to them? He's an old man now, probably somewhere around 120 years old. He has seen a lot happen in his life, and now he's about to pass away. And even though Moses was an old man, it's interesting in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, it tells us that his eyes were not dim and his strength was not diminished. God was with Moses, and he was in giving him inspiration. So as I think about this picture in Deuteronomy, I picture an old man, but he's yet strong. He's a man that had led the people out of Egypt. He had led them through the Red Sea crossing. He had led them up to this point in their journey before because of unbelief, and they had turned back, like I'd mentioned earlier. He had led them for almost 40 years. This man had been their spokesperson to God, one who had interceded for them many times. When God wanted to just destroy them, Moses said, no, don't. Right, take my name out of the book. Moses could have been bitter at this time. He could have been upset because he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He could have just had the opinion, well, I'm not going in, so whatever happens to you all happens to you all. But he didn't. He was a man of vision. He had a vision for the future, and he cared about the people of God. He was giving them his final address here in Deuteronomy. He wanted them to be successful after he was gone. Moses knew that on the other side of the river, the Jordan River, they were going to face different pressures than they had faced in the wilderness. And he was just instructing them to be faithful to God. I want to look at 7 points that Moses gave the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to start reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want to read 3 verses. Verse 9, verse 15, and verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes has seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. And then also verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. It's 3 times here in chapter 4, Moses tells the people to take heed. As fathers and leaders in our homes, if we're going to be able to communicate a spiritual vision to those who follow us, it's imperative that we take heed to ourselves. What is going on in my life? The idea here with take heed is that we watch diligently for the things that creep into our lives and into our homes. Those seemingly small things that just poke their head up. Maybe it's something like pride. we're proud of what we've been able to accomplish, or we're proud of our business, or we're proud of our abilities, or whatever it may be that we call success. Take heed to ourselves. Maybe it's self-righteousness. Think that I have everything together, and I have life figured out, and I'm the dad. That's why. Take heed to ourselves. Maybe it's anger. We become upset about things in life when they don't go our way. Someone cuts us off in traffic, or we're shorted in a business deal, or whatever it may be, and we respond in anger. Maybe it's just the lust of our flesh. Moses was warning the children of Israel here against idolatry, especially in verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and you make a graven image. Now, we obviously don't make graven images, but doesn't mean we don't have idols, does it? We have idols that we bring that come into our life, whatever they may be. It's different for each of us. But anything that comes between us and God, it's an idol. And Moses says, take heed to yourselves. When you go into the promised land and there's rest, take heed to yourselves that you don't fall into this trap of idolatry. Number two, also from Deuteronomy chapter 4, is verse 29. Moses calls the people. He says, But it from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So the first commandment that he gave them was to take heed. The second is to seek the Lord. Fathers with vision, we need to seek after God with our whole heart. A pursuit of the things of God. There's many things we can pursue in life. Hobbies, business, social status. But if we're fathers of vision, we're going to pursue the things of God. There's many ways that we can pursue God, but one of them is just being men who read the Bible. Pick up the book and read it, understand it, dig into it. We have it so readily available. Let's read it, study it, and apply it. It's the way we can seek after the Lord. Call our families after us as we follow the Word of God. We seek God through time on our knees in prayer for our needs. Pray for wisdom to lead our families after God. It takes a lot of wisdom, doesn't it? I was talking to one of my friends on Friday who's also preaching this morning, Father's Day, and he said, the older you get, the harder it is to preach Father's Day messages. I don't know if that's true or not, Tim and Ernest, but that's what he said. It takes a lot of wisdom to raise families. Get on our knees in prayer for that wisdom. Pray for the souls of our children. Pray for strength to face difficult things in life. Pray that God would make himself real to us. Seek the Lord. That's how we can be fathers of vision, if we seek the Lord. Moses promised the people here, if you seek after God, you're going to find him. And that's the reward for seeking after God. Seek him with all of our heart. Number three is loving the Lord with our soul, mind, and strength. And that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 to 6. After you actually start reading in verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So it's very closely related to our last point. But love the Lord with everything that we have. Does our love for God and his kingdom surpass all else? Do our families, do our children know that we are men who love God supremely? His kingdom is the most important thing to us. Or what do our families know that our love is? Maybe it's dad loves fishing, or dad loves boating, or dad loves camping. But I hope our children can say that we love the Lord. We love God. We love His kingdom. I take it as a challenge to myself. Fathers of vision, love the Lord. Number four, fathers of vision teach their children. Also from Deuteronomy chapter 6, start reading in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Actually, I want to stop reading with verse 9. I'm sorry. We'll pick up verse 10 in a little bit. Fathers with vision teach their children diligently. Over and over again in Deuteronomy, Moses called the children of Israel to teach their children the commands of God. Fathers of vision will teach and inspire their children to follow after God. And Moses gives us some examples here of how we can do that. When we are sitting in the house, when we're walking by the way, when we lie down and we rise up. I just take that to mean there's throughout the day, in the normal daily routine of life, normal activities, we are teaching our children about the ways of God. Just yesterday, I told my wife we had a teachable moment at home. I had some bikes parked out back in the alley, and they disappeared. It's an opportunity to teach our children the ways of God. When we talk about these things, teach these Bible truths in the normal, everyday happenings of life. Often that is taught by example. When we face a situation, when we come up to a situation, how we handle it teaches our children about what's inside of us. We teach by example. Also, I want to read verse 20 through 25 of chapter 6. And when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, and as he hath commanded us. Another part of teaching is teaching our children why we do the things we do. Obviously, the age of our children is a big part of that. But we tell them why we are at the place where we're at today. Tell them where we came from and where we're at today and why we're here. It's a big part of teaching diligently to our children. Number five, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to read verse 7 through 14. And I think this is probably something that we wrestle with the most, and that is, beware, fullness can lead to forgetfulness. Moses was warning the people about this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, and of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou diggest brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, for which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses to dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Stop reading there. Moses was warning the people to beware that fullness leads to forgetfulness. The dangers that come with ease and convenience, when everything is just at our fingertips. For 40 years, they had depended on God for their daily manna. It came every day, and they were not able to store it up except for the Sabbath. They had this daily reminder that they needed to rely on God. They're out here in the wilderness. They don't have provision, but God is providing for them. They had this daily reminder, and when they went into the promised land, that manna stopped. And Moses, because everything they had was there, the vineyards, the houses, everything was there. And God through Moses was warning them, don't forget God. When you have all these things, don't forget. We live in full houses for sure, don't we? Many of us have freezers that are full, good food. We have shelves with canned foods. And the list can go on and on of the things that we have at our fingertips. And our fullness goes far beyond the food that we just have in our basement. We have so much more at our fingertips. So many resources, so many things that can just distract us and take us away from God. We've got to be intentional with the resources that we have been given to steward. And make sure that our fullness does not lead us to forgetfulness. For fathers of vision, we need to be intentional about what we have. Number 6, I want to take this from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, and people great and tall, and the children of the Anakims, which thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard, say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Number 6, the work is bigger than we are. As fathers, the work is bigger than we are. A good leader does not normally tell his soldiers that the enemy is bigger than they. That's what Moses told the people here. The land where you're going, the enemy is bigger than you. He told them the cities are big and they have thick walls and they're high. It's not really a rallying message that Moses gave the people here. But he also told them that God is going to go before them. God is going to help them to conquer this land and push back the forces of evil. The enemy that we face today with our families is bigger and stronger than we are. But God is with us, and we don't need to fear, is my family going to make it? Are we going to be able to make it? We can be victorious through God giving us help and being fathers of vision. We can rest in that. Number 7, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is at the very end of Moses' address to the people. He is laying before them blessing and cursing. And as fathers, it is our responsibility and duty absolutely to teach and to train our children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Moses shared with us this morning, verse from Ephesians. But it comes down to an individual choice of our children. We can do the best we can. We do with God's help, but it comes down to individual choice. Each person has to make a choice. And that's what Moses is laying before the people here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's start reading in verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Moses gave all this instruction in the book of Deuteronomy, but he brings this parting address to a close when he calls them to make a choice. And each person has to individually make this choice between life and death. So youth, your parents are not perfect. They know it. You know it. But give them the respect and support that they need as they navigate life. Give them grace for mistakes. Give them grace for times that they maybe don't do things the way you think they should be done. Give them your support. And ultimately, choose the path of life that your parents have taught you and have presented to you. So this morning, I just want to encourage us as fathers, as families, to keep on pressing on in this work. Hope that our vision does not become clouded with the difficulties that we face, that we keep on pressing on. And I want to bless you fathers this morning. I know that we have a lot on our plates. Sometimes we wonder if we're getting all the right things accomplished. But today is another day to just pick up and to keep pressing on and to keep looking ahead. God bless you. Let's pray.
Especially as fathers, as we lead our families, pray that you would give us wisdom. Lord, not only our families, but those that are around us, those that we influence. Lord, I pray that we can be men of vision, men of passion, men who are sold out for the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to daily make these choices that bring us towards our goal. Just pray that you bless each of the fathers here this morning. Bless them for their leadership, and Lord, just forgive us where we are weak, and help us to be strong. We ask this in Jesus' name.